can do so without physical injury. As we prepare to read God's word from God's book, two passages of scripture that I want to share with you today. The first is found in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. And the second is found in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to look at verses 10 and 28. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. There we find the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. In that is the one that enjoins us to give due honor and respect to our parents. Now, I want you to notice as you read this passage with me that it will not say, honor your mother and your father if they've been nice to you. If they treated you nice when you were a kid, if they didn't abuse you, if they didn't violate you, if they didn't walk away from you, if they didn't neglect you, I've been trying to find that in the text. But it is not there, Elder Jones. Well, let's read what's in the text, can we? Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Amen. You will read, I will recite, as we are used to doing here. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that what? Thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Somebody say amen. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to do just that. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, and that is our preaching passage for today. Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to look at verse 10, and we're going to drop down to verse 28. Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 28. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. And it declares, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far more than rubies. Now let's drop to verse 28. Her children rises up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he does what? Praises her. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far more than rubies. Her children rise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Pray with me. Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son Jesus and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, I want to tell you something about your mother. She is worth more than Ruby. Okay, that was rehearsal. You gotta encourage somebody this morning. Neighbor, oh neighbor, I want to tell you something about your mother. She is worth much more than rubies. She is worth more than rubies. Beloved, of the four precious stones that are categorized in what is called the corundum of gemstones, the highest of the four is a ruby. The other three, in their order of ascension below that of the value of the ruby, are the diamond, the sapphire, and the emerald. These four gemstones are categorized as the corundum of gemstones, or the highest category of gemstones. The ruby, the diamond, the sapphire, and the emerald. The ruby, it is said, is the king of gemstones. Matter of fact, it gets its name ruby from the Latin word rubor, which means red. And Elder Prochet, it comes in a variety of shades of red. It glows from a light pink to a blood red. But the ruby, my brothers and sisters, is known to have been the favorite of British royalty. It is said that the ruby was used for coronation rings. And today is still appreciated by royalty. History tells us that Prince Andrew, when he was proposing to Fergie, the Duchess of York, chose to use a ruby. Now, many of us poor people are always fascinated by the diamond. Whenever there's an engagement, the first thing you ask, how big was the stone? But you haven't really experienced the depth of gemstone until you can afford to buy a ruby. Matter of fact, it is said that the ruby is so awesome in its luster and its brilliance that people of antiquity saw in it the semblance of the sun. It represented the sun. To others, it is said that the ruby represented courage, devotion, happiness, health, and also the ruby is said to represent to others the idea of integrity. No wonder, my brothers and sisters, the wise man Solomon chose to memorialize the admonition that his mother Bathsheba is giving to him when she is trying to help him to understand, when you make the decision of who is going to be the wife of the king and the mother of the king's children, you should choose someone whose worth is higher than the price of a ruby. I wish somebody was listening to me. Bathsheba was encouraging her son because she knew that Solomon had an issue with distinguishing quality from quantity. I wish somebody was listening to me. The Bible says that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And his mother Bathsheba says, I need to talk some sense into my son. Lemuel, that was his nickname. That was his my dearness name that his mother calls him. Proverbs 31. She said, Lemuel, listen to your mama. Listen to me, son. It is not a good thing for a king to acquaint himself too familiar with drinks, with strong drinks, because it messes with your mind. It causes you not to be able to make the right decisions, especially when it comes to something as sacred as choosing a wife. She says, son, the one who will have the privilege of carrying that sacred responsibility of being the wife of the king and the mother of the children of the king cannot be like every other woman. She has to be special. She has to be unique. She has to be distinguished. She has to be different from the rest of the group. I wish somebody was listening to me. She says to him, she has to be worth more than the price of a ruby. Now, my brothers and sisters, let me parenthetically insert, before I go any further, that I am unequivocal and I do not hesitate to declare that every girl and every woman on this planet has a worth. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Somebody missed. I am declaring publicly that I have no problem with recognizing that every girl and every woman that is born on this planet is born with a measure of worth. Why? Because they are created in the image and the likeness of God. Is anybody listening to me? And in this Me Too age, hashtag Me Too, I want to let the powers that be know, and those who take advantage of weak people or weaker people, people who take advantage of people that are depending on them. I want them to know that every girl and every woman born on this planet has the intrinsic and unalienable birth privilege of a worth from Yahweh. I wish the women would just praise God this morning. But having said that, Elder Jones, I have to be true to the text. And to be true to the text, I have to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that when Bathsheba was advising her son, when she was speaking to Lemuel or to Solomon the king about the virtuous woman, she was not talking about every woman. Because one of the things that you will discover about the ruby is it is not, its price is not high only because of its brilliance and its luster, but the price of the ruby is high because of its scarcity and its rarity. Turn to your neighbor and say, rubies are rare. In other words, they don't just come a dime a dozen. You can't just walk into a jewelry store and purchase a ruby. You don't just find them at Walmart in that little glass that they lock up. Rubies are rare. And only royalty have access to it. I wish somebody was following me where I'm going. And so Bathsheba speaks to her son and encourages him with this rhetorical interrogative as she is telling him about the rarity and the scarcity of the ruby. She says, a virtuous woman. Who can find her? In this world that is vice with vanity, proliferated with promiscuity, and saturated with self-centeredness, who can find, I wish somebody was listening to me, a virtuous woman? In this world of greed, gluttony, and gossip, Who can find a virtuous woman? And then, as if to disabuse her son of the ambiguity of the distinction between a virtuous woman and every other woman, she adds to her question by saying her price is far more than the price of a ruby. And so this morning, my brothers and sisters, I hear this age-old question still echoing through the distance of time, and coming here at 4555 Fairfield's Avenue and saying to me and to you, a virtuous woman, who can find her? Because her price is far more than rubies. One of the things that I like about the mother of the king is she is not trying, Elder Perkins, to have her son confused. So after she asks the question, she gives him 16 qualities that are requisite to the woman who can be valued as a ruby. Solomon has better sense to write this down for posterity because he wanted you and I to know. So in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 10 or verse 11 to 31, he lists these 16 attributes. Now, time will not allow me to delve into each one of them, but I want to ask your permission to categorize them in 7 groups. Is that all right? Solomon records from his mother, and I'm categorizing these 16 qualities, these 16 attributes in 7 categories. The first quality of a virtuous woman, Solomon says, is integrity. Everybody say integrity. Here it is. It's right there in the word. If you can turn to your word. He says in Proverbs 31 and verse 11, her husband's heart trusts her. I'm talking about integrity. Her husband's heart trusts her to the point that he has no need to desert her. Now, what is she talking about? She is saying this woman's integrity is so impeachable that her husband is not stressed about where she is, what she's doing, and who she's doing it with. Whenever she leaves his presence, he is at peace and secured within himself because she is a woman of integrity. But not only does she say that, if you go to verse 23, she says, her husband is respected when he sits at the city gate with the elders in the land. Let me break that down for you. She's saying her husband is respected among his colleagues, but not just his colleagues, he's respected amongst people in his community because his wife's integrity is impeachable. She adds value to his worth because of her integrity. A virtuous woman. Who can find her? But not only does it mean that she adds worth to his she adds to his worth, but what it also means when Solomon records that her husband sits with respect amongst the elders at the city gate, it is saying, Sister Adams, that she doesn't hang out with deadbeats. She doesn't find herself hooking up with irresponsible men. Okay. Help me preach this the way I want to preach it on this Mother's Day to God. The woman of virtue and the woman of integrity doesn't just rub shoulder with any old man. She knows how to choose the men or the man that she will hang out with. Integrity. The second thing that, or the second category that we find in this advice is that the second quality of the woman that has virtue is that she is intentional. Everybody say intentional. She doesn't just do things off the cuff. She doesn't mistake herself into things. She plans them. I'm going to give you a passage. Verse 27 says, she works with her hands, she takes care of her family's needs, and she is not idle. You go to verse 15, Elder Perkins, it says that she wakes up early in the morning to make sure that her family is nurtured and have the things that they need before they wake up. Somebody say intentionality. And she doesn't get up and stumble out of bed wondering what my kids are going to eat today. How are they going to make it today? No, she has it all planned out. She is a very intentional person. Then the third quality that we see in the virtuous woman is she is industrious. The passage says in verse 13, it says she seeks wool and flax and she works with her hands. I'm talking about a businesswoman now. I'm talking about an independent woman. I'm talking about a strong woman. I'm talking about a woman who's not depending on somebody to feed her, pay her rent, take care of her. The only reason she allows this person in her life is because she's got so much love to give without depending on this person. And she finds out that this person has so much love to give to her and that this person is responsible. And because this person views her as a ruby, this person will go all out to make her look and feel and be presented as a ruby. Is anybody listening to me today? She is industrious. She if you read verse 14, it says she's not only locally industrious, Sister Adams, but she goes and interacts internationally. She sees the ship that are coming, ships that are coming into port from other lands. If you go up to verse 26, it says she deals in silk. I'm talking about a quality woman. This woman don't buy her stuff from the thrift stores, because she got enough worth. She got enough that. I'm not putting you down. You get your stuff from the thrift store. You know, sometimes you got to fake it till you can make it. But I'm talking about the virtuous woman. She's a businesswoman. But here's the part that I like. When I read this text, I said, this is Sharon Wegar right here. The next thing that we see, which is the fourth quality in this woman, is she is insecurity free. Go with me to verse 18. It's right there. The text says she knows that her merchandise is good. In other words, the girl say, I know what I got. I don't need no plattery validation. I don't need you to tell me I'm fine. I know I is fine. I don't need you to tell me I got worth. I know I got worth. I don't need you to tell me that I am not good enough and that I'm not strong enough and that I'm not powerful enough and that I'm not intelligent enough and that I'm not smart enough and that I'm not educated enough and that I'm not light enough and that I'm not tall enough and that I'm not slim enough and that I'm not, I wish somebody was listening to me. She said, I know that my stuff is good. Is there two women in here who can high five another woman and say, girl, I know my stuff is good. I ain't making this up. You look at Proverbs 31, verse 18. I'm talking about a virtuous woman. A woman walking around saying, don't touch this. This is too good for you. Yeah, I know my stuff is good. You don't get this at Walmart. You don't get this at the assembly line. This is designer's original. I wish some of the sisters would get happy with me. My stuff is not a rag or muffin. You don't just get it any old places. And you don't have to tell me. You don't have, you know, there are people who are looking for people to validate them. And they abuse you. But the virtuous woman needs nobody to validate her. She has integrity. She has intentionality, that's the word. She is industrious, and she is insecurity free. Turn to your neighbor and say, how's your security? I'm talking about the women now. This is not a man day. This is a women's day. Yeah, let's get that security stuff straight. Why are you letting him treat you like trash? Why are you letting him walk all over you? Why are you letting him talk to you like that? Why are you letting him beat you up like that? Don't you know your stuff is good? But if you don't know your stuff is good, nobody else will know it is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, my stuff is good. Better yet, my stuff is great. Yeah. Help me preach my little sermon. Wonderful, somebody said. She has integrity. She is intentional. She is industrious. She is insecurity free. And then the next quality that he says is about this woman is she is an investor in the future of her children. It says she finds a land and she buys it. It's in the text. I'm not making this up. And not only does she find the land of the Lord and buys it, but she cultivates it so that it can make a profit, not just for her, but for her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and her great-great-great-grandchildren. She is thinking about posterity. A virtuous woman. She has integrity. She is intentional. She is industrious. She is insecurity free. And she is an investor in the future. then he gives us another quality. He says, she is an inspirer. Verse 26, he said, when she opens her mouth, wisdom comes out. Oh, bless his name. In other words, she doesn't just talk trash. She doesn't just speak idle words. She doesn't just join any old every conversation. Because whenever she opens her mouth, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, words that give life, words that energize, words that lift people up, words that put, I wish somebody would hear me. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far more than rubies. She has integrity. She's intentional. She's industrious. She's insecurity free. She's an investor. She inspires. And then this is the last, which is really the foundation of all that virtue is. He says she enjoys engaging in intimacy with Yahweh. Go to verse 30. It says favor is what, everybody? Deceitful. And beauty is what? But a woman who fears God will what? That's intimacy. Walking around here talking about I'm 23. Yeah, and they're dragging you around like a rag. Beauty is vain. The last time I checked, somebody said, child, beauty is skin deep. Because what you see on the outside is not necessarily what's on the inside. You got to watch yourself before you wreck yourself when you are looking for a woman. When you're looking for a wife, when you're looking for the mother of your children, you can't just look at what they look like on the outside. That has its place. You know, you want to be able to love coming home. They got to be easy on the eye. I ain't got no problem with that. But what I'm saying is don't base it all on what the eye sees. Because sight is deceitful. And if you think I'm lying, you live with them for 20 years. Okay. At the 25th anniversary, some of the things that were in place are now out of place. Stuff that used to move don't move no more. And if you didn't get integrity, if you didn't get intentionality, if you didn't get industriousness, if you didn't get insecurity free, if you didn't have inspiration, you are about to go to divorce court because you are only basing your love on what you see. Solomon says, I need to write this. Mama, I'm so glad you told me about the virtuous woman. Because I need to write this for some brother at 4555 Fairfields Avenue. He gonna need to know that when you are looking for that person that your children will call mama. When you are looking for the person that will walk beside you in the integrity of your contemporaries. You can't just choose anybody. You got to choose a virtuous woman. So I have to ask the question again. A virtuous woman, who can find her? And I stopped by today on this day intended to reflect on the influence of our mothers and those who play motherly roles in our lives, and to thank them for all that they have been to us. I want to declare unequivocally this afternoon, if you want to know who or where you can find a virtuous woman, I say get on the train, get on the plane, get in your car, use a bike or a skateboard if you will, and come by 4555 Fairfields Avenue. There is a building called the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I got a whole lot of them up in here. I wish somebody would say amen. Got a whole lot of them in here. Got them in here. They're mothers. I got them in here. They're grandmothers. I got them in here. They're aunties. I got them in here. They're daughters. They're sisters. I got virtuous women up in here. They're ushers who stand at the door. They're choristers who sing in the choir, in the praise team. I said, I got them up in here. There are elders who stand in the pulpit. There are ministry leaders who direct and guide the ministries of this church that impact this society for Jesus. They are in here, my brothers and sisters. Where can I find a virtuous woman? I said, come to 4555 Fairfields Avenue. They are in here. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, they are in here. And I stopped by today to say how much I appreciate them. Oh, yes. All of us may not have our mothers in here. Some of them may live in cities or countries that we call home, outside of Baton Rouge. Some of them may be sleeping in their graves, waiting the sound of the life giver. But I just stopped by to tell somebody today that I want to thank God for our mothers, whether they are asleep in death, Elder Perkins, whether they are alive today, whether they are in this building or out of this building, whether they are in this city or out of this city, in this state or out of this state, in this country or out of this country, I want to stand here and thank God for our mothers today because of their influence, through their integrity, through their intentionality, through their industriousness, through their insecurity freeness, through their inspiring, through their having a relationship, an intimacy with Yahweh. And all of that have influenced us to be who we are today. Where's my musician? I want him to get on because I'm getting ready to wrap this up. And I know somebody's looking at me, Elder Jones, and saying, wait a minute, we God, what are you talking about? You are at that church with people that got issues, people that got problems. You don't have that many virtuous women there. And I said, wait a minute, you are reading the text wrong. Here's what the text says. The text says, who can find a virtuous woman? It doesn't say who can find a perfect woman. I wish somebody would listen to me. Because the person that is giving this advice understands what it is to be hurt, understands what it is to be violated, understands what it is to be abused, understands what it is to be taken advantage of. Her name is Bathsheba. You want me to tell you a little more about her and King David? She understood, but she knows that you don't have to be perfect
to be virtuous is that two people up in here who can thank God that we don't have to be perfect to be virtuous. Say, I'm virtuous. So I thank God for my mama. Oh, yeah, she did some things that I didn't like. Sometimes she said stuff to me that I didn't like. Sometimes she didn't do things that I wanted her to do. But she wasn't called to be perfect. She was called to be virtuous. She was called to have intimacy with God, to have a sense of integrity, to have intentionality, to be industrious, to be an investor. And because of that investment in my life today, I stand here to say there is no secret what God can do, what he's done for me. If you flip back the script, you will realize he's done it for you. So I don't care what problem you got with your mama, what problem you got with your mama, what issues you got with your mama. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord gives you. And I want to say, mama, I thank you. Is there three people up in here who want to get upon their feet and just join me? Maybe she can hear you. Maybe she won't hear you. But can you just say, I thank God for my mother because she was a virtuous woman. Somebody say thank you. We thank God for our mothers today. We bless God for having a sense of integrity with all we put you through. We thank you for having intimacy with God, to get on your knees 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock midnight, when we were acting a fool and cutting up, doing something we shouldn't be doing, places we shouldn't be playing, we shouldn't be. You were on your knees, wetting your pillows with tears, saying, God, take care of my child. And a lot of us are here today because of our mothers and because of their integrity, because of their sense of intentionality, because of their investments in us, because of their spirit of industry, because of their inspiration. And today, we stand on our feet with heaven witnessing and in audience in this congregation to say thank you. Thank you to our wives. Thank you to our children's mothers. Thank you to our mamas. Thank you to the ladies who play motherly roles in our lives. Thank you for the ones who may not have had natural birth of their own, but they've taken care of us. Thank you. Thank you. And the Bible says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Is there three people in here today that want to just bless their mama? That want to just praise God for their mama? Come on, let's just do that. Just say thank you. Just open your mouth and just thank God for your mama. Just say, God, I thank you. I may not have appreciated her, but I thank you for my mama. And if we are grateful, if we are thankful, I say if we are appreciative, in obedience to the command that God gives us in Exodus 20 and verse 12. And then I stop by to let you know that God will bless you. He will bless you with days. He will bless you with years. He will bless you with strength. He will bless you with longevity. He will bless you with a peace of mind. He will bless you with health. He will bless you because he said, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He didn't give any prerequisite for what your mother should have done or your father should have done for you to honor them. He said, just honor them and I will be the blesser. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he keep his word? Somebody say yes. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. A virtuous woman, who can find her? I said, you can find her right here. You can find her in the Uyghurs' home. You can find her in every home in this church. May God bless you, mothers. May God bless you, wives. May God bless you, sisters, with more days and years and health and strength until Jesus come to take us home in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.